Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number 1, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the old gospel bus tonight?
Well, got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band of angels, you and me.
All right. Well, since it's just us, obviously, we also have all our listeners around the world, so we may not see them, but they definitely listen in. So what do you got for us, Sister Ruth?
Just pray for everybody. I tell you, this world's gone mad. I keep hearing more about these shootings. I've even been hearing shooting outside here still. I don't know if somebody's hunting or what they're doing. So it's getting kind of ridiculous, this world. But, you know, Jesus is coming. There'll be peace then, and we won't have to worry about it. So just thank God for what we do have and go on.
Amen.
But, yeah, I'm praying for, well, most of the requests that we normally have, like, I think Emily said her son needed prayer, and I think there was Lila was having some issues, and I'm doing all right tonight. So it's nice to have happy birthday to good-looking husband, too.
And also woke up with a rude awakening this morning, had a Charlie horse, which still feeling the effects, so I could use prayer for that. Also, once again, praying, as Six would say, your friends, my friends, my fans, your fans, and the whole world in general. Of course, our police forces, our military, those in authority, politicians, they definitely need prayer. Amen. And, of course, those first responders and those working in hospitals and nursing homes. Amen. And, of course, Emily's mom and Emily, of course. So, with that, I think we'll get right down to the boogie music and get right on in with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus here at the Wednesday Night Bible Study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Go, sweetie.
Thank you.
Some 2,000 years ago, God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure, oh, the Lamb of God for sure. For he took me as I was, oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me, I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was, oh, praise his name.
the end of my journey. We are mine, and of our souls all one. Turn the star and the cross of redemption.
Contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. There are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F E-E-L. Letter N as Nancy. Touch like you do with your fingertips. T-O-U-C-H. King, like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown. K-I-N-G at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, at gmail.com. Again, KJV1611Ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about. And in all three cases, in your body of your message, refer it to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Six Eyes Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number 1, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday. For the Sunday Gospel Show, get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to bring. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering.
Evangelist Timothy Ruber takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday,
don't let me.
Jumbo Braille program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. the one and only program here on the 6IN Radio Network that could be felt. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday.
With AJ and the
Squad. With AJ and the Squad. 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for the 6IN Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Jude and verse 6. Jude and verse 6. Since there's only one chapter in Jude, we're just going to verse 6. Jude and verse 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
And you notice here, the Bible says that there are certain angels that were reserved in chains for their judgment. And we'll hear that one more time. Amen.
And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
And you notice, because they left their first estate, these are the angels who left with Lucifer or Satan, they are bound in everlasting chains waiting for their judgment. And this was our 6IN Bible Memory Verse found in Jude, which only has one chapter, so Jude and verse 6. Jude and verse 6. Amen.
songs his face is dying, and hope within me dies. I draw the closer to him. And I sing because I'm free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
Thank you. that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the fame of fearing loss, how far the tempest takes away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders, ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gift, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
when I've just been to heaven with someone so true. I dreamed about Mama last night. She read me the Bible like she used to do. I dreamed about Mama last night. She never closed her eyes in sleep till we were all in bed. And on party nights till we came home, she often sat and read. We little thought about it then, 'cause we were young and gay, just how much Mama worried when we children were away. We only knew she never slept when we were out at night, and that she waited just to know that we'd come home all right. Why, sometimes we'd stay away till 1 or 2 or 3. It seemed to us that Mama heard the turning of the key. For always when we'd step inside, she'd call and we'd reply. But we were all too young back then to understand the reason why. Until the last one returned, she'd always keep a light. For Mama couldn't sleep until she kissed us all goodnight. She had to know that we were safe before she went to rest, 'cause she seemed to fear the world might harm the ones she loved the best. And once she said, when you've grown to women and to men, perhaps I'll sleep the whole night through. I may be different then. And so it seemed that night and day we knew a mother's care, that always when we got back home, we'd find her waiting there. And then came the night that we were called together around her bed. The children are all with you now, the kindly doctor said. And in her eyes there gleamed again that old-time tender light that told us that she'd been waiting just to know that we were all right. Then she smiled that old familiar smile and prayed to God to keep her children safe from harm throughout the years. And then she went to sleep.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLES. FORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, A-S-H-T TABULA, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week.
Hello there. This is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. And the Hebrew Word of the Week for this week is Abba, A. E is a boy, A. Abba. It is the Hebrew word for father. It is written, Isaiah 59, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Everlasting Abba, the Hebrew word for father, Abba, A, B as in boy, A, Abba, the Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus Christ, sent as Messiah, the Everlasting Father, having been to him. He proclaimed as God manifest in the flesh, as Son of God, I and my Father are one. And again, the Hebrew word for Father is Abba. A, B, boy, A, is the Heavenly Father. God the Father, is he your Father? Are you his child, his son, his daughter? This day? If not, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation, the day of Yeshua. Jesus saves. Until next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. God bless you and yours.
Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address. 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6 at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
future. For I know what Jesus said, and today I'll walk beside him. For he knows, yes, he knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know, yes I do, who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who feeds the sparrow, why, he's the one. Maybe through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, 'cause I'm covered, yes, I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know, yes I do, who holds my hand.
Are
forgiven. I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Come go with me to that land over yonder. He's prepared for the pure and the true. It's a place where sickness and death cannot enter. I'm going, brother, how about you? Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, he'll return in robes of pure white. I'm packing up now, getting my things together. Who knows? He might come tonight. I know, there's no doubt about it. He's real in my heart, and I'm gonna shout it. I know, my sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to a place that's called heaven. Heaven, heaven.
I must tell Jesus
I must tell Jesus I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. One who can help my burdens to bear. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, He all my cares and sorrows will share. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
I pledge allegiance to the land. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor.
Thank you. from the years and gone. Because of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died. Life to the prophet's song on the final day. Let us proudly stand and boldly say,
I pledge allegiance to the land with all my strength, with all.
Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network. Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we support this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network.
Agony tore at my mind. I'm a statistic. And when I first got here, I felt very much alone. I was overwhelmed with grief and I expected to find something. But, oh, I found no sympathy. I only saw thousands of others whose bodies were as badly mangled as mine. I was given a number and placed in a category. The category was called traffic fatality. Now, the day I died was an ordinary school day. Oh, how I wish I'd taken the bus. But I was too soon for the bus. I remembered how I'd conned my mom out of her car that day. A special favor, I pleaded, because all the other kids drive. And when the 250 bell rang that day, I threw my books in my locker. I'm free until 8:40 tomorrow morning. Oh, I ran to the parking lot, excited at the thought of driving a car, being my own boss, being free. Now, it doesn't matter how the accident happened. I was just goofing off, I guess. Going a little too fast, smoking a little pot, taking crazy chances. But I was enjoying my freedom and having myself a ball. And the very last thing I remember was passing an old lady who seemed to be going awful slow. Then I heard the deafening crash and felt a terrific jolt. Glass and steel flew everywhere. My whole body seemed to be turning inside out. And then I heard myself scream. Suddenly I awakened, and it was very quiet. This police officer was standing over me. Then I saw this doctor. My body was so mangled, I was saturated with blood. Pieces of jagged glass were sticking out all over my body. And I thought it strange that I didn't feel anything. Hey, mister, don't pull that sheet over my head. I can't be dead. I'm only 17. I got a date tonight. I'm supposed to grow up and have a wonderful life. I can't be dead. But later, I was placed in a morgue on a cold slab, and my folks had to identify me. Oh, why did they have to see me like this? Why did I have to look into my mom's eyes when she had just been through the most terrible ordeal of her life? And my dad, he suddenly looked like an old man as he told the man in charge, yes, that's our son. And my funeral? It was a real experience. I saw all my relatives and friends walk towards my casket. They passed by one and looked at me with the saddest eyes I guess I'd ever seen. Some of my buddies were crying, and my girlfriend touched my hand and sobbed as she walked away. Please, somebody, wake me up and get me out of here. I can't bear it to see my mom and dad so broken up. And my grandparents are so racked with grief, they can barely walk. And my brother and sister are like zombies, walking around in a daze. Please, somebody. No one can believe this, and I can't believe it myself. Please don't bury me. I can't be dead. I have a lot of living to do. I want to laugh and run again. I want to sing and dance. Oh, please don't put me in the ground. I promise if you give me one more chance, God, I'll be the most careful driver in the whole wide world. All I'm asking is one more chance, God. Please, I'm only 17.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Love you.
Really? Was it worth it? Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
All right, tonight we have a unique message out of Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 12, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, and we're going to find out how to be blessed.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples sat and came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
All right, now we're going to go through this practically verse by verse, but first we're going to read verses 1 and 2 because it's kind of introductory, and we'll read those two together, verses 1 and 2, Matthew chapter 5.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying.
And you notice the very first thing he did, they went up and he sat down with his disciples and he taught them. And he begins to speak and he teaches them. And what does he teach them? We're going to find out what he teaches them, which is obviously how to be blessed, or another word for blessed means happy. Happy. How to be happy. Many of us want to know how to be happy. Well, we'll find out. Starting verse 3, Matthew chapter 5, verse 3.
Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Now you notice the first thing he says to be happy is those who are poor in spirit, they shall see the kingdom of God. So you want to be happy, be poor in spirit, and you will be to see the kingdom of God. And now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 4.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
And you notice now, for those of you who may have lost somebody, some of you that are in grief, this verse is for you. Blessed or happy are you that mourn, because what does the Bible say? You shall be comforted. God is your comfort. God is the one who shall comfort you. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
And you notice now it says, blessed are the meek. These are people that are kind of not, it's not that they're sad or somber. No, they are quiet in spirit. Those who are quiet in spirit, they shall inherit the earth. Why? Because they're not trying to cause arguments, and they're surely not trying to hurt their brother or sister. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Now, here's the real beautiful verse. You want to be blessed? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. And what does God say he'll do for you? He will fill you. He is the one who will fill you. God will fill you. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
Now you notice, you want to be blessed in another area? Blessed are the merciful. those who give forgiveness. Why? Because you will obtain mercy. You can't receive mercy or forgiveness until you yourself forgive. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God.
Now, you see it says, blessed are the pure in heart. This does not mean that you're perfect and never sin. This means you strive to live a life that is centered on Christ. Why? Because if you do, you shall see God. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Now you notice this is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You want to be a child of God? Strive for peace. Instead of trying to cause fights and be angry all the time and going after everybody, oh, I'm going to get eaten. That ain't being peaceful. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10.
Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Now you notice it says, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Have you ever been persecuted for doing what's right? Ridiculed? Made fun of? Had people say, I don't know why they go to church, or I don't know why they read that Bible, and I don't know why don't they go to the bar? Ever get that said to you? That's persecution. The Bible says, for theirs is the kingdom of God. You should be happy about that. That's what the Bible says. You should be happy, not sad, happy. Amen. Now we're going to read the last two verses together, Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12.
Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you.
Okay. I need you to tap me when I get ready to record. Okay. All right. Well, didn't realize we were still recording. Amen. But you notice it says, blessed are they that are, it says, blessed are they that when men shall revile you and persecute you. What does it say to do? Rejoice. Excuse me. Most people, when they're being persecuted and called all kinds of nasty things, because they're serving God, what's the first thing they want to do? Boo-hoo. They don't like me no more. Boo-hoo. But wait a minute. What does the Bible say? What did it just say there? Rejoice. Why? Because they persecuted the prophets before you. Wait. What happened to Elijah? When finally Ahab ran into Elijah, Elijah said, I'm going to stay here. When he told that Obadiah that, okay, tell Ahab that I'm here. And Obadiah says, yeah, right. You want me to risk my life when the Spirit takes you off to go somewhere else? And he said, no, I'll stay right here. Obadiah went, got Ahab. Ahab came back. What was the first thing that Ahab said to Elijah? Oh, hi, buddy. How you doing, man? Oh, you're such a good guy, man. I just appreciate the way you're serving God, and oh, you just do all kinds of nice things, and you made it stop raining for 3 years, and is that what he said? if that's what you believe, you need to go back and read it. Ahab looked at Elijah and says, are you the one that's troubling Israel? You're the one that's troubling Israel. You're the problem, Elijah. You're the problem. Isn't that what they say about you today? You're the problem. You're the troublemaker. But you notice what Elijah came back with? Elijah came back and said, no, Ahab. You're the one who ain't got God in your heart. You're the one that's against God. You're the one over there with Jezebel. You, Ahab, are the problem. You're the troublemaker. And then, of course, the big battle came amongst the prophets. And Elijah showed them through God that God was God. And Baal's prophets weren't worth 2 cents, weren't worth a hill of beans. So, if the prophets like Isaiah were persecuted, Jeremiah was put down in a dungeon, you think they're going to sit there and treat you like, hey, buddy, hey, chum, huh? You think they're going to go, hey, buddy, you're just such a nice guy. Yeah, man, you read your Bible, you pray, and you go to church, and you don't want to drink, and you don't want to do all that stuff. Huh? You think they're going to say, hey, buddy, hey, chum? One of the prophets was sawed in half. Excuse me, if they did it to the prophets, what do you think they're going to do to you? Excuse me, if you don't know Christ, the rapture takes off, then you realize where you messed up, and then you accept Christ, you're going to lose your head in order to get to heaven. Does that sound like you're not going to be persecuted? Hey, tribulation saints are going to get tribulation like there's no tomorrow. So, you want to be happy, according to these verses. Serve God, God's way. Amen. And now it is time for Sister Ruth to tell us the common message between this song and this poem. Amen.
And feel great, big and holding mine. I'm too tired to trust and too tired to pray, said one, as the overtaxed strength gave way. The one conscious thought by my mind possessed is, oh, could I just drop it all and rest? Would God forgive me, do you suppose, if I go right to sleep as a baby goes, without an asking if I may, without ever trying to trust and pray? Will God forgive you? Why think, dear heart, when language to you was an unknown art? Did a mother deny you needed rest or refuse to pillow your head on her breast? Did she let you want when you could not ask? Did she set her child an unequal task? Or did she cradle you in her arms and then guard your slumber against alarms? Ah, how quick was her mother love to see the unconscious yearnings of infancy. When you've grown too tired to trust and pray, when overwrought nature has quite given way, then just drop it all and give up to rest, as you used to do on a mother's breast. He knows all about it. The dear Lord knows. Just go to sleep as a baby goes. Without even asking if you may, God knows when his child is too tired to pray. He judges not solely by uttered prayer. He knows when the yearnings of love are there. He knows you do pray. He knows you do trust. And he knows, too, the limits of poor, weak dust. Oh, the wonderful sympathy of Christ for his chosen ones in that midnight tryst, when he bade them sleep and take their rest, while on him the guilt of the whole world pressed. You've given your life up to him to keep, then don't be afraid to go right to sleep.
Well, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
Well, the song is about reaching up and putting your hands into God's hand, and the poem's about how a person could go to sleep, that the Lord is with them even when they're going to sleep, and you don't have to be afraid to go right to sleep. The Lord's with you no matter where you are.
So in one or two sentences, what would you say is the common message between the two?
Well, the Lord's with you no matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're trying to go to bed or you just need his help and you're trying to reach up to get prayer from him, to get help, he's there.
Well, when it's time, I think I'll give it to you because it's real close to what we were looking for. Basically, when you're too tired to go on, you can reach up and grab that great big hand that's bigger than yours, but I'll take your answer as well. So this time, I'll give it to you. Amen.
Well, I find that's true in my life, too. I like to reach up and try to ask help from the Lord, and when I want to go to sleep, the Lord's with me even there.
All right, so now you switched over to the good side. Now maybe you could start a good roll again. Amen. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. In the Holy Bible, it tells of the day when the beast should walk among us and many should fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they should rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of men, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn. Tribulation, when that flame is darker than tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken,
and the seven vials are opened,
and the seven trumpets sound. As quick as lightning streaks from east to west across the sky, God's faithful ones will disappear in the twinkling of an eye. Many are called, but few are chosen. Run along, let your heart be frozen. Don't you want to go? This world will be in bondage under Satan's evil power. The Antichrist will rule until that fire will blow you out. When pain and sorrow disappear, and God will wipe away all tears, joy forevermore. I believe that we are living in the days John wrote about. The end times are upon us, and of that there is no doubt. Get your mind out of the world. Take your Bible off the shelf. Read the book of Revelation for yourself.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
When that plane is talking.
Tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Lesson is the power of God. The Lord has laid upon my heart this lesson, which I believe will help every person who will hear it. I'm researching the subject, the power of God. I found a verse, scripture in the Psalm, which was the original germ or seed thought that God used to encourage me to create and put together this particular lesson. Okay, scripture. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God, Psalm 62:11. This verse is actually saying two things. God is the origin of all power, and God is the source of all power. Power of God is described in many ways, but for our human understanding, an adjective as mighty, irresistible, incomparable, inconceivable, great, eternal, and sufficient are used. So we can endeavor to grasp the mighty power of God. Job, describing the power of God, says, "Behold, God is mighty." Job 36:5. Moses, giving the reasons for God's mighty miracles to Israel, says, "There's none else beside him." Deuteronomy 4:35. Job again speaks of God's power by saying, "Which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." Job 9:10, and of course your King James Version. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he describes the power of God by saying, "Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think," Ephesians 3:20, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans speaks about the eternal power of the Godhead, Romans 1:20. And then Matthew, the writer of the first gospel, puts
puts the capstone on the whole argument of the power of God by D. Crown. But with God, all things are possible, Matthew 19:26. So just taking a few verses at random, we see that the power of God, just to use a few adjectives, our minds will comprehend a mighty, irresistible, incomparable, inconceivable, great, eternal, and sufficient unto all things. Doesn't that thrill you? Doesn't that cause goose pimples to run up and down your spine and to realize it is that God we serve, the one who has all of that, naturally being in physical bodies? We're always looking for physical evidences of any given attribute or event or circumstance. The power of God is manifested in many ways. First of all, let's examine creation. It's difficult for our human minds to comprehend, but there was a time in eons of ages past when this universe did not exist. There was no earth, there was no sun, moon, or stars, or other planets. There was nothing. But the power of God was put into operation, and all of these things became realities. Scripture, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1, KJV. Another one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. Now, for by him were all things created, that there are in heaven and that on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. That's Colossians 1:16, KJV. In these three portions of Scripture, we have the Word of God declaring unto us that the power of God was and is manifested in creation. In the eons of ages past, when God had desired to create this planet Earth, we as well as the other planets out in the far distant regions of space, God really spoke the Word. And because of his infinite power, all of these marvels that mystify the minds of scientific geniuses today came into being. That's the power of God. And they also forgot God did the first surgery when he made woman. Look how powerful he is. After God created the original world as we know it. And when I say world, I am referring to the earth, mountains, the oceans, stars, moon, sun, other planets, which are Venus and Mars. After God created all that, then there was arose a rebellion up in heaven, which is actually a great war of revolution, and God threw Lucifer, the ringleader of the revolution, out of heaven. It was followed by one-third of the angels who were expelled at the same time, and that rebellious leader came down to the earth and caused a chaotic condition to prevail upon this planet. That's why it says in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We have the same thing quoted in the book of Jeremiah, because we see the prophet Jeremiah taking a retrospective view of the earth after it had been contaminated or damaged or ghastly chaos had overtaken it after the original creation. Listen to what Jeremiah the prophet has to say, and please note, you're thinking he's quoting Genesis 1:2. Now, I beheld this earth, and lo, it was without form and void. That's Jeremiah 4:23. After the cataclysmic events recorded in Genesis 1:2 and Jeremiah 4:23 has taken their devastating toll on this planet, Earth, and God said again to exercise his power through a process of recreation. When we come to the first chapter of the book of Genesis, beginning with verse 3 through verse 5, we have the first day of recreation. Verse 8 concludes the second day of recreation. Verse 13 concludes the third day of recreation. And verse 19, the fourth day of recreation. And verse 23, the fifth day of recreation. And then verse 31 concludes the end of the sixth day of recreation. And then we find God resting on the seventh day after he'd ended his work, which he had made, which is according to Genesis 2 and verse 2. It was the power of God that brought order out of chaos, that brought living human beings out of the dust, the original creation that made this earth a livable habitation, save a place of ruin and a place of destruction. Here we have in creation and recreation a marvelous example and display of the mighty power of God. The mighty power of God is further manifested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. While Christ was living here, he had uttered a prophecy concerning his death by saying, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." John 2:19, therefore, when he was put to death on the cross of Calvary and his body was taken down and laying in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible says that guards were posted outside the tomb. After a stone had been placed in front of the doorway, all these precautions being taken so his followers would not steal him away, because nobody believed he would actually be resurrected. You see, he had been dead for 3 days and three nights, and he had to be dead that length of time, or else Jesus Christ would have been made a liar, because it's prophesied that he had to be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish. Well, he was, so he wasn't a liar. Yet, on the morning of resurrection, some of his faithful followers were to the tomb, and we knew that they weren't expecting him to be resurrected because they were carrying spices to prepare his body for burial. But when they got there, the angel of God announced to them, he's not here. He's risen. Luke 2:6 KJV. Apostle Paul, writing in the book of Ephesians, describes the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ by saying, when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand and in heavenly places, Ephesians 1:20, in the 19th verse, Paul laid the groundwork by saying, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward when we believe according to the working of his mighty power? So we see the power of God was manifested in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in the book of Romans, there is a direct statement of his power, and it leaves nothing for anybody's imagination, disputing any agnostics, infidels, unbelievers, or those who would tear away at the foundation stones of the Christian faith. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Romans 8:11, KJV. The power of God is further manifested in the resurrection of God's saints. Some would possibly concede that God would resurrect Christ, after all, Christ was the only begotten Son of God, but who would the power of God be displayed in the resurrection of his saints? Again, the Apostle Paul declares in clarion tones that all might hear and understand. And God has both raised up the Lord Christ, they will also raise up us by his own power. 1 Corinthians 6:14. When God demonstrated his power by resurrecting Jesus Christ, God gave a guarantee to all the world that he will also raise up all believers by his own power. And while we are serving God, we can have assurance of the manifestation of the power of God. Upon our bodies, should we lay down our tabernacles of clay before the rapture of the church, allow me to share with us, or with you, another display and manifestation of the power of God. I believe the psalmist is far better qualified to state in his poetic language what I have in mind. I'm referring to the power of God delivering people who are under extenuating circumstances or who labor in hard places. Scripture, our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his hand sake, and he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up, so he led them through the depths through the wilderness. Psalm 106, verse 7 through 9. Modern ecclesiastical writers can tamper with the word of God if they want to, and they can state in their best-selling paperback books that Israelites waded through the mushy sea of reeds, endeavoring to disqualify or delete God's power as recorded in the Holy Words. But I will take the inspired written book to Bible anytime. Go ahead, say amen if you want to. If you need be, God will display his power in order to deliver his people. Many of you can tell and recite stories of how God's power has been manifested in your own personal life, how he has delivered you under extenuating circumstances. I could personally recite a number of incidents myself. God is a God of power, and yet it need be he is gentle, kind, loving, and sympathetic. Thank God he is. Have you ever had a personal encounter with this God of power? He can cause miracles in your life. Continuing, the Bible says, power of God is manifested in taking the gospel effectual into salvation. In order words, a person has to hear the word of God, that is through the ear or through the eye, hear or read it, and then once the gospel message has been made available into the individual, then the power of God works in that person's heart and life. Scripture, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1, 16 and KJV. This doctrine is further stated in the first letter to the Corinthians, where it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1, 18 and KJV. So we can see that the power of God is manifested in making the gospel effectual unto salvation. There's no such thing as the individual saying, "I'll be saved when I get ready to be," or "I can be saved anytime I want to." Now, that's a mistake. It requires the power of God to bring unto reality in every heart and life salvation. There's no other alternative. You come to God's way or you don't receive salvation. It's put into operation in every heart and life by the power of God. The Bible plainly tells us that the power of God can be declared or delegated. By that I mean God can authorize an individual to use his power just the same as a person can authorize another power of attorney. That means the person who has the power of attorney can operate or do business as though they were the first party of the contract. God delegates his power as he has done in the case of Jesus Christ, Scripture. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, the 11 disciples, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28:18, KJV. When Jesus said, "All power is given unto me," he was merely saying he'd been delegated authority and liberty to exercise the full power of attorney in all God's interests. Complete authority to act in God's stead as if God himself were doing the work. Power to act as free of his own will as one has power to eat and drink. Christ's power was unlimited in doing the will and works in God in strength, or of God in earth. God designates his power as he has done in the case of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Sometimes God delegates his power to men. That is, allows human beings varying degrees of power to have authority to use God's power along certain lines. And when they exercise that power, it's as though God himself were doing it. Let me prove my point. "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." Luke 24:49. The only disciples were told to wait until a full measure of power from on high came upon them, and then they would be able to do the same works that Jesus Christ had done, who you are a Bible student. Or have received all power. I'm sure every student that is a Bible reader at all, you know the promise that was given to the disciples before the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts, it plainly says, "And you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1:8. When you take a study of the grapevine in the Bible, as well as outstanding servants of God known through the centuries, you will find that these men have a manifestation of the power of God in their lives, and there are several evidences these men have been delegated God's power because miracles which they performed in the great, outstanding, unusual, effectual ministries they headed up. The library shelves are filled with written testimonies of men who displayed that delegated power in their lives. The story of missions is a living testimony of that very power. When we further examine the power of God, we see it with manifested in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had the power to forgive sins. He had the power to cast out devils. He had the power to heal the sick. He had the power to raise the dead, and he possessed and magnified the power of destroying the works of the devil. That was God's power that Jesus possessed. Nobody today has the power to forgive sins, yet Jesus Christ had. "Wherefore I say unto you, her sins which are many are forgiven." Luke 7:47, Scripture. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Matthew 9:6, KJV. Relative to Jesus Christ casting out devils, the Bible says, "And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God." And that's Luke 9:42 and 43, King James Version. Jesus also had power to heal the sick. There's no mystery in anybody who's reading the Bible. Our record of the power of God along this line is recorded in Matthew's Gospel, where it says, Scripture, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all the sick." Matthew 8:16, KJV, Jesus came to use God's power that he might destroy the works of the devil. We continue to ferret out various interesting segments and sequences relative to God's power. We note, power of God enables men to become sons of God. Isn't that marvelous? Imagine a no-good wayward, lost, hell-bound sinner through the medium of the power of God becoming a son of God. I'll tell you, that's enough to make Baptists shout. True. Scripture, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. Did you ever feel the impact of that verse of scripture in your heart? Isn't it marvelous? The power of God enables us to become the sons of God. Here's something that'll make you bite the rubber off your pencil. The power of God enables us to become kings or priests. The power of God, as correctly applied, enables men and women to become kings and priests of the Most High God. Scripture, and hath made us kings and priests unto men and God to give him glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Revelation 1:6, KJV. May I say the same thing is repeated in Revelation 5:10, and practically the same words are spoken in Revelation 20:6. Today, world is filled with people who are defeated. Just look around you. By every avenue of life, you find folks who have fallen by the wayside because they fail to triumph over that which is opposing them. But may I hasten to say the power of God in the life of the believer gives that person the energizing strength to enable him to be victorious. We are always triumphant in Jesus Christ by the power of God. Scripture, now thanks be to unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, KJV. Someone may ask the question, what do you mean by triumph in Christ? I mean, we become the victor over Satan under all circumstances. God used his power to throw Satan out of heaven in ages past when he was Lucifer. We have the power to demand that Satan get behind us, the same power that Christ exercised when tempted of the devil. The Bible is filled with stories of great success of the men of God who, down through the ages, have triumphed over the evil one by the power of God. Do you remember when Peter and John were brought before the high priest and there was a great gathering assembled at Jerusalem? Another question that these two men were asked, scripture, and when they had sat down in the midst, they asked, well, what power or what name have you done this? Acts 4:7, our KJV. All that Peter and John had done was preach through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's all they did. They just stood on the street corner in the shade of a tree or down temple where they could not get a crowd. And Jesus was Son of God, and God had resurrected Jesus. Yet, they were brought before the council of high priests and dignitaries who wanted to know how these two unlearned, uneducated, unsheep-skinned men could come so much confusion in the city of Jerusalem. Now, Peter's defense. And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and unto them, be it known unto you all and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, when whom you crucified, when Christ, God raised him from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Acts 4:8-10, KJV. Now, what set the whole situation ablaze? They healed an impotent man. A poor old beggar was sitting by the gate at the entrance of the temple area. Peter took the man by the hand and lifted him up on his feet, and his ankle bones received strength, and the fellow caused a great commotion for all over Jerusalem by leaping and walking and shouting and praising God. And Peter and John got in temporary trouble for exercises the power of God. Well, may I say the same thing would happen on the corner of one of the main streets of your city. If you saw a similar demonstration, or you were instrumental in causing a similar demonstration of power today, you could expect a police car to come by in a few minutes, and you'll be hauled off, or whoever was responsible would be hauled off to jail and booked for disturbing the peace. Well, people haven't changed. People are the same as they always been, wishy-washy unbelievers, distorter of the truth. But I'm declaring unto you, the power of God is still the same today. God is moving across the world today in a fashion as he's never moved before, and God is giving man his final opportunity to become sons of God, have their sins forgiven, their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and be on their way to glory land. Because soon, very soon, when we least expect, Jesus Christ is coming to go up, to come, when to come in the clouds of glory, have received his blood purchased church unto himself. Are you ready, my friends? You should be ready. Please don't play around with your eternal destiny. Hell is a hot place, and eternity is a long span of never-ending time, and you need to be ready to go when Jesus comes for his own. So far, we have examined the power of God in various avenues of our everyday living, such as God being mighty, irresistible, incomparable, inconceivable, great, eternal, and sufficient, and also that God, the power of God, is manifested in creation, recreation, and the resurrection of saints, and in delivering people from bondage, not to mention the power of God being delighted to men, the power of God manifested in Christ, and be able to exercise and demonstrate the power of God in our lives. That's why the Bible says, let there be light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16, KJV. I don't know whether you've ever been taught of this, of not, the power of God is the source of the believer's strength. When I say believers, I'm talking about both killed and New Testament believers, men and women in these two different eras of time who belonged to God. It was God's power transmitted to them, and I might include us also, which gives strength. There is a listing of 32 blessings in 2 Samuel 22, verses, beginning with verse 33. Continuing right through that chapter, a portion of verse 33 says, God is my strength and power. The psalmist continues to ring this beautiful phrase because we hear him saying, the God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Psalm 68:35, KJV. If we further examine the power of God, we find it is the source of the believer's strength. I'm reminded that oftentimes in my labors for God, long hours, you know, doing different types of lessons, I've been at the place where a normal person would have fainted, thrown up his hands and quit, but drawn out of that deep well of reservoir strength that only God gives to those who would faint. The prophet Isaiah had such experiences. That's why he was weary and well-doing, because we hear him saying, he giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Yet the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not weary, and they should walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:29-31. Furthermore, the Bible says it's the power of God that actually keeps the believer. I hear people say they don't think they can hold on. I hear people that they don't think they can hold out. May I hasten to say it's God who does the keeping. Who would know better than great truth than Simon Peter, the big fisherman, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter 1:5. Please bear in mind, our salvation is in three stages, or it travels in a triune circle, the three being, one, we are saved from the penalty of sin, salvation in operation once you accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Two, we are daily being saved from the habit of sin, meaning to say we should be better Christians today than we were last week. And three, finally, we are to be saved from the conformity of sin, meaning to say we eventually will be in all respects conformed to the image of God. Final stage will be culminated in the new earth, when we come back to inhabit the New Jerusalem, to live throughout the countless ages of God's eternity in that holy city. Jude, the writer of the little one-chapter letter, which appears in your Bible immediately in front of Revelation, realized the power of God on that life of the believer, because Jude plainly set forth the great truth of God's keeping power. Now, Scripture, now to him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless unto the presence of his glory and exceeding joy. Jude 24. Jude must have been conscious of God's power in the life of the believer because he mentions two tremendous truths. One, keep you from falling. Two, present you faultless to Christ. It's too bad, but it's so. We are so prone to depend on mankind. We put our faith in people instead of putting our faith in God. You see, the power of God operates in the lives of believers to its full capacity only when it's vested completely to God. Let's leave man out of the picture. Note Paul's writings in the first letter to the Corinthian church, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. That's 1 Corinthians 2:5. Mankind is a way of letting his fellow man down. Man fail one another. Tremendous heartache, distress of mind, inconceivable worry and frustration has been caused in the human family. Because we've trusted one another, yet the Bible says we should put our faith and our trust and our hope in God. Power of God will never fail. It's impossible for God to fail the individual. It's true, God has certain guidelines along which he operates, and as long as the individual alerts to the policies he's established, then we can become the recipients of the power of God in our lives. And under those delightful circumstances, we become tremendous successes in the work of God. I think that's why the great apostles declared, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me, Philippians 4:13. The apostle was merely saying that as long as the power of God was working in him, as long as he was in the mainstream of God's purpose for his life, then nothing would interfere, and he would accomplish the goals that had been established for him. Can you say the same? Can I say the same? We should be able to. It's the same God today that operated 1,000 years ago or even 6,000 years ago and even the beginning when God first made the world. Why don't we trust him? Let's give him our talents, let's give him our talents and resources, our lives, our families, our all, and lay them at his feet and let him energize us with his power and then put us on the road that leads to success and eternal life. And the next one will be Satan, the master deceiver.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Welcome to the Six Eyes Stay Warm But Safe segment, where it is better to be warm and safe than cold and in your grave. Today I'd like to talk to you about safety with different types of heating. First of all, let me talk to you about furnaces, whether gas, propane, or oil. First of all, have your furnace looked at by a well-qualified technician, not your aunt, your uncle, your cousin, your brother, whatever that claims they know what they're doing, but a well-qualified technician who has went to school for such things. Also, be sure to change your air filter once a month, and be sure there are no debris, etc., around your furnace. Moving on, let's talk about fireplaces. We're talking about the gas-type fireplaces or wood-burning fireplaces. These areas must be well vented through a chimney. Be sure there is no clutter near the hearth, etc., and children should not be allowed to play in such an area. Also, be sure there is no debris close to the area that could catch fire. Now let's talk about space heaters. There are many types on the market today. First, let's talk about electric space heaters. Be sure all electric space heaters have the shut-off feature. Should they be tipped over, they shut off automatically. Secondly, be sure to check cord on a monthly basis. What you should check for is, one, where the plug plugs into the wall socket. Be sure while the unit is working and running that the plug is not getting warm. If it gets warm, replace the electric heater. This is because it can overheat the plug and cause melting of the plug and an electrical fire. Secondly, check the length of the cord from the plug to the electric heater to make sure there is no melting or fraying of the cord, which can cause a fire. Also, be sure all cords are not under or around the space heater itself where it can be overheated or cause a trip hazard. Next, space heater should have. All space heaters should have a clearance or space between the heater and all objects near them. This is easily accomplished by putting your left leg near the heater and your right leg
next to the object you want to make sure there's space between. You should be able to stand easily between the two without cramping yourself. This is at least a 2-foot space or span. Also, above the space heater, there should be nothing between the space heater and the ceiling. This will give it proper room for allowing heat to escape the heater without causing fire. The reason for this is, if, for example, wooden furniture is near it, the furniture can become overheated, dry out, and thus cause a fire. Objects such as cardboard or paper can easily become overheated and ignite. Cloth objects can easily overheat and become ignited and cause a fire. This is why there should always be a 2-foot span around the heater and at least over the top of the heater from the top of the heater to your ceiling should be always clear. And never, ever touch a space heater with your bare hands while it is running. Electric heaters that have fans. Do not place anything on the area of the space heater where the fan is pulling air into the fan, known as the intake valves. This can cause the heater to overheat and burst into flames. Also, put nothing on the outgoing air because of the same reason for the cause of fire. In fact, nothing should be on any space heater of any type because of the reason that they can cause fire. Now let's talk about propane and kerosene heaters. These types of space heaters burn with an ignition source and flame. They put off CO2 due to the igniting process and the burning process. These space heaters require proper venting. They should not be used in a closed house without proper ventilation. Without proper ventilation, these heaters could cause the CO2 to build up. You would start to feel sleepy, fall asleep, and never wake up again to see your family, and they would be very saddened at your passing. So do not use these space heaters without proper ventilation. Finally, let's talk about what they call torpedo heaters or propane heaters. Some also are run by kerosene, and these heaters have a fan that takes the heat source and makes it at an extreme heat, more heat for the buck, as they say. The fan blows across the heat source and makes it hotter. These heaters are usually used in a garage-type environment. Once again, because of the heat source, propane or kerosene must be properly vented. Should never be used inside of a home without proper ventilation due to the CO2 buildup. As I stated before, this is true of all heaters, no matter their type, whether in your fireplace, space heater, torpedo heater, whatever. Young children, teenagers, or yes, even you adults should never allow children to play around them, nor should you touch them while in operation. These are causes for serious burns. We do not want you to be burned due to your space heater. Remember, proper space for your heater, proper checking of the electrical, and proper use are all important when using heaters. And finally, we want to reiterate with what we started with at the beginning of this segment. Here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, we want you to be safe but warm, because it is better to be warm and safe than cold and dead. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our Secure PayPal button and Secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
If you'd like to get a copy of this show or any of the shows here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, here's how you can go about doing that. First off, if you have a smartphone or tablet, just go to the podcast section on your smartphone or tablet and enter Six Eyes Radio. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S space R-A-D-I-O. After you've entered that and clicked enter, then you'll see us pop up there. And once we do, just click subscribe. And once you do, you'll have us right there at your fingertips 7 days a week. And you'll be able to listen to us morning, noon, or night, anytime at your desire, any time of the week. If you're an Android or Apple user, you will first need to download the iHeartRadio app. The iHeartRadio app. Once you've downloaded iHeartRadio, then you do the same procedure. You go to iHeartRadio, click on that app. Then, when you're on there, you type in their search box, Six Eyes Radio, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, space, radio, R-A-D-I-O. Once you've done that, click, you'll see us pop up there. Then click subscribe, and you'll have us 7 days a week. And you'll be able to enjoy. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6 at gmail.com. That's S-I-X
SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, SIXEYES, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, Ruth, and at the end here, who do we got?
Well, we still got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels always there. We have you and me besides that.
Okay. Well, with that, we're going to let you give us a closing prayer. We'll be out of here and remind everybody for tomorrow night here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, 9 p.m. Jumbo Braille program. That's 9 p.m. Eastern. At 9 p.m. Eastern, we'll have the Jumbo Braille program, and Dr. Doug Quick will be in the house. All right, Ruthie.
Well, Lord, we want to praise and bless your name tonight for the music and all the blessings, and hopefully I help somebody with the prophecy, even though eventually I want to get around, Lord, and you can help me to do a Jewish series. So we get to that someday. You can help me with that, Lord. And we just want to bless your name and want to serve you always. Love you, sweetheart.